Well, we just sang with distinct clarity, Lord, we adore you. What does that look like in our lives? When we get into a moment like this, or at least when I do in worship, when we know that we're pouring something out of us based on what God has poured into us, it's just a moment that you'd love in many ways, or I'd love in many ways, to continue, because there's a point in that where it doesn't matter what else is going on in life. It doesn't matter what the pains are. It doesn't matter what the challenges are. It doesn't even matter what the highest peaks of a mountaintop experience is. In that moment, we can experience something about a relationship with God that transcends all of that. Something that says, it is well with my soul. Something where God himself has extended us such a grace through his son, Jesus Christ, that nothing else matters. What an exciting thing. My prayer is that we would all be able to experience that, and that we continue to experience that as he speaks to us here. I'm gonna go into just a little bit of an educational moment here with respect to academics. And if I were to ask a question of you, how many of you remember studying physics in school? Some of you would say, oh yeah, I remember that. Some would say, what's physics? So we're probably going to have quite a range. And if any of you happen to have a degree in physics, then you'll think that I'm so basic in what I'm about to say that you probably have a lot of things to correct. But nevertheless, bear with me in this. I'd like to ask the question. Let's picture just for a moment you go to, how many of you have been to Longwood Gardens? Everybody know what Longwood Gardens are? A bunch of you have been there. You might have been to Yosemite. You might have seen some of the geysers. But if I were to ask you to recall or envision a fountain, we'd probably all have a fairly similar picture of what a fountain is. We might think of it as at Longwood Gardens on a night show when they put colored lights behind it, or we might think of the however many hundreds of feet high the geysers are at Yosemite. But the reality is we'd all think of it as water moving upward, is that right? From some spot in the ground. A little bit different than our picture of Niagara Falls, where a lot of water is going over a falls, just massive gallons per minute going over a falls, but a geyser is water shooting up, a fountain. You know, there's a part of our body that Scripture likens to a fountain. You all know what that is? It's our mouth. Now let's talk about what is the physics of a fountain. How do we get a fountain? You've got to have a reservoir or a reserve that somehow begins to come under pressure, and then there's got to be an orifice or an opening for that pressure to be released. And when it's released, it's not all just like a swimming pool that the side ruptures and all the water flows out. It squirts out of there, shoots out of there, and different with a lot of force. More force than what is contained within the reservoir. And Scripture talks about our mouths being a fountain. And we'll talk about that here a little bit this morning. One of the things I want to mention here briefly is this happens to be the first actual Sunday in the new year that we get a chance to be together. Of course, this being the 7th. And you've also heard over the years, for those of you who have been a part of the congregation for years, that we really don't spend a lot of time talking about resolutions. In fact, if we've talked about it, we've probably not talked about it with the greatest encouragement. Because resolutions in a secular setting or the world around us are just things that somehow we commit because of frustrations of our past to do differently in the year ahead. And we all know that for the most part, they're empty in the sense that there's meaning to it, but it's empty in that the longevity of it oftentimes doesn't play out. Because we do those things in our own strength. It's our, well, I need to do this year, or I've got to stop doing this, and so I commit to stopping that, or I commit to doing this because I really should be for my health or whatever else. And we struggle with that, and we go on a while, and maybe we have different or varying levels of success. But nevertheless, when it's in our own strength, so often we fail. Maybe not every time, but so often we fail. And we get frustrated, and we get to the next year, and we talk about another resolution. I'm going to tell you this morning that we're going to get an example from David himself in the Old Testament of a resolution. Not because I encourage resolutions, but we're going to see how David made a resolution before God that impacted his life. So don't rule out the idea of resolutions. But keep that in mind as we go through this morning. What is What are we going to hear about a resolution? What are we going to hear about a commitment that we should be making before God in this new year, as much as making any day of our lives, as much as making any year of our lives? But let's talk about how Scripture refers to our mouth being a fountain. In Proverbs 10, and you don't need to turn to this, I'll have a few scriptures up here in a moment, but in Proverbs 10, we read these words, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life." There it is, plain and simple. "But violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked." Now, that's the New International Version. All of a sudden, we go from what would seemingly be this great experience of a fountain to the violence, something very dramatic. It's interesting that in other translations, the second half of that verse reads, "The mouth of the wicked conceals violence and evil." Now, when I talked about a reservoir earlier, as far as needing a reservoir in order to have a fountain, if our mouth is to be a fountain, what is the reservoir from which that fountain erupts? Anybody know what Scripture says about that? The heart. We're going to talk about that here in just a moment. But let's think about that in that context then. As we talk about, if my mouth is a fountain, then it's spewing something, it's putting something out of my being, who I am, out of my heart, and what is that putting out? Now, as another caution I would give to each of us as we sit here, today is not a day to hear what you hear and think about what it means for somebody sitting next to you. Because that would be pretty easy to pick out. We're also not to think about the people we work with. We're not to think about our neighbor that we hear yelling over the back fence. We're not to think about somebody at the gas station when they can't get their car to work right. We're to think about ourselves, all right? God's speaking to us each individually here this morning, so take this to heart as God speaks to us. Let's turn to Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 43, and reading the next couple of verses, we read these words. "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks." That second part of verse 45 again. "For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks." This is a scripture we hear about a lot, right? How does a good tree bring forth bad fruit, and how does a bad tree bring forth good fruit? And now we're hearing that what comes out of our mouth is a result of what is in our heart. So if what is in our heart then is good, what should come out of our mouth is good. If what is in our heart is not good, even violent, as we read in the earlier verse, then what is going to come out of our mouth, I assure you, sooner or later, will not be good. And you say, well, most of what comes out of my mouth is good. Now, I'm not going to go into a lesson on pruning trees here, but trees can have good fruit on the same tree as bad fruit. And what do we say about that scenario? How does that apply to what God's saying here? We all know that there's a redemptive work going on in our lives, don't we? If we don't acknowledge that, then we don't acknowledge that God sent his son, Jesus Christ. Because in acknowledging that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, he sent him to redeem us to himself. Why do we need redeeming? Because we're flesh and blood, we're sinful by nature, but created in the image of God, and he's redeeming us to that image. And so here it is. We've got this opportunity, much as a tree that over here, how did that word come out of my mouth? Or how did I say such a degrading thing? Or how did I express so much frustration here, and over here I stand on a Sunday morning and I say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, there is none like you. How do I deal with that? God is telling us it's our heart. You know, it's often said that the eyes are a window to the soul. What does Scripture say our mouth is? It's the window to the heart. It's something that's showing what is in here. And isn't it true that it is so easy in certain circles to try to say the right things? We might know about doing the right things, but saying the right things even. In other situations, do we give it as much caution? Do we care what our heart is speaking? Do we care, first of all, what is in our heart? And if what our mind begins to conceive comes out of our mouth, it relays what is in our heart. It sounds judgmental when we talk about that, but God wants us to walk in righteousness, and he wants us to walk in purity. And purity is a result of being transformed into his very image, like Scripture tells us. So it's something that we need to want. It's important for us to want it. It's important for us to want a heart that is pure, so that what comes out of us in our words, in the words that we say, in our relationships, and even the things that we do, that it's a portrayal of and it relays the very spirit and the very nature of God, and not our flesh, not our fallen nature. If we go to Matthew chapter 12, let's back up a couple chapters. In Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 33, we read, and here's a repeat a bit of what we just heard regarding a tree and its fruit. In verse 33, we read, "Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit." And now this is Jesus talking, so if you've got a red letter Bible, it'll be in red letters for sure. And listen to this. Listen how harsh he was getting with, and I'd encourage you to read the rest of that chapter, or at least starting back in verse 22 when you get a moment, to get a better context of why he gets so clear, makes such a clear statement here in what he says in verse 34. He says, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." And at first when I read that, I thought, well, how does that relate? This is Jesus saying this. Of course, he hadn't been crucified yet, but he knew why he came to earth. He knew why the Father sent him to this earth. And he was coming to be the Redeemer, to redeem us from our failures, to redeem us from our sin. And yet here he's saying, but your words are going to condemn you, or they're going to acquit you. The reality of this and the clarity that comes in this, he was just getting done talking about the difference between seeing, he had just cast demons out of a person. And there were those who were saying to him, either you must be something fantastic or you're of the devil, you're doing this by the devil. And he said, no, the two cannot, it's not a confusing scenario at all. It's very clear. And he was clarifying for us just how important it is that where our hearts are and what our mouth speaks is extremely important. There's no confusion between what is of God and what is of Satan, what is of evil. And if we think we can gray those lines, we're missing something about understanding the very heart of God, the heart that's to be in us, the heart that says, I want to be pure regardless. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to yield to my flesh. The exciting thing is God made a way for us to be able to say that and to live up to it, not just an empty resolution. So here Jesus was being very clear with these individuals who were not believers and saying, your words are important. They will be held against us, or they will acquit us. And if you're like me, I'd much rather be acquitted than proven guilty. So it needs to be a desire of ours. there was a, you say, well, why was it such a clear warning? Why did he talk to us about giving an account? Well, later on in Matthew, a couple chapters later in chapter 15, he says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. These are what makes a man unclean. So again, if we're talking about the things that begin to stir in us, we say, well, I've never murdered, and we know the whole discussion that followed the when Jesus said he came to fulfill the law, not to condemn it. And then there's that discussion that goes on about the fact that if we even think something in our heart, we have in as much committed it. So here we are, and he's saying these are the things that happen in us and through us in the ways we relate to people and the things we do in life, as serious as all of these things, as serious as any sin that we commit, anything that is considered impure by God. And those are the things that as they stir in us, if it's evil, that's what will come out sooner or later. So should we be surprised when in the worst of our moments of experiences of life, something comes out of our mouth that later we might catch and say, and maybe not even at the moment, we say, how could have I even thought that or said that? But there's something that comes out of our heart. If we don't pay specific attention to the condition of our heart continually as believers, we will continue to have those moments where we say, I can't believe that happened. Because we haven't recognized just how much our heart continually needs to be purified by God. And so our mouth is a telltale sign and can be over and over again. I guess you can imagine why I encourage you not to point fingers. It would be easy to say, well, how dare that person say that? Or why was that person so discouraging? Or why did this come up here? Why, you know, that coworker, that's just who they are, but that's horrible what they have to say. I would never do that. The truth here is God wants to deal with each one of us. And I know that at different points in our lives, as we continue to work out our salvation, as God talks about in Scripture, there's all kinds of flaws we see, all kinds of sins we see come to the surface at times. But isn't it neat that Jesus Christ came to die once and for all, his word says. That means when that failure shows, when that weakness shows, when that thing begins to stir, that maybe even shows because it comes out of our mouth, even as a fountain or a geyser, that we can go back to God and say, God, I'm sorry. And we deal with that. Not always an easy thing to do, but something that's very important based on what God asks of us, wants for us. I want to show you here now how David himself ended up making a resolution. How did David deal with this very issue? Because he's dealt with this whole issue of sin in his life. Many of the different stories surrounding David's failures, and I'm not about to repeat all of those here. But let's turn to Psalm chapter 40. And we'll only read the first three verses here, but in Psalm 40, we read these words. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. David was in a place, and we see this throughout Psalms. There's a fair amount of David being transparent in that he acknowledges that things aren't going very well, and he cries out to God, and God responds. And this is one of those times. But he said here, he acknowledges it's a couple of things. One, he knew that the experience he was in, he labeled it as a slimy pit, something that's muddy, something that's mired. And set his feet on a rock. God did something, but he did something as a result of David crying out to him. And God was faithful to answer him. God heard his cry, and God answered him. When we find ourselves dealing with things in our heart that we know sooner or later or one way or another come out of our mouth, the expressions of our mouth, when we deal with those things, rather than hiding them or rather than trying to keep squashing them by making our own resolution, I can't say that, or I can't do that, or I shouldn't do this, or I shouldn't do that. Think about David. He cried out. Why is it so difficult sometimes for us to just simply do that? To acknowledge that I can't make this happen. I've tried before and it doesn't happen. Why would I think I could make it happen now? But David cried out, and he said that God answered him. He said, I waited patiently. How many times have we failed and maybe even failed over and over again and either get to a point where we say, well, yeah, I'll work on something else for a while, or maybe it's not that important after all, or maybe if I just keep it to a minimum here, somehow manage to keep my smile at church, but somehow in the next moment, you know, where I'm not around my church family or where I'm not around my own family, something is different. You know, when we talk about the word integrity in its most simple form, it's just simply, what am I doing when nobody else is watching? Or what am I doing when I think nobody else is watching? What do I think? What do I say? What is coming out of my heart when I think no one is watching or no one cares or it doesn't matter? David knew he was in a bad spot, and he waited patiently. He hung in there. He waited patiently, crying out to God, and he said that God answered him. He lifted him out of the slimy pit. He set his feet on a rock. So not only did he lift him out, but it says there in the second part of verse 2, he set his feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand. So he was acknowledging that the place he was in was shaky. When I try to control what is in my heart, out of my own intention to either, well, I just can't do that because it won't look or sound right, or I just can't be that way, and I try that on my own, I'm on shaky footing, because sooner or later, my button's going to get pushed. I'm going to be at the moment where that fuel card doesn't scan for 3 times in a row and the wind's blowing at 30 below wind chill temps. We all know what that feels like lately. But when that happens, then that button's getting pushed. What is that fountain going to look like? What is it? How high is that geyser going to blow? What's going to happen? But to wait patiently and then to ask God to set our feet on a solid footing, one that says, now I know, because God is the one that is purifying my heart, I know that I can have a solid footing, just as David said here. And then I love this. Then he says, when we're talking about our mouth being a fountain, then David said, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. God's the one that's going to change that. If we have any of those moments where we know, not just that our mouth speaks something, but that our heart, something is there that when that button gets pushed, our mouth is going to say something or speak something that we know isn't holy or isn't pure. How do we deal with that? Here he says he puts a new song in our mouth, a hymn of praise to our God, a recognition that it was God in the first place who came into us to indwell us and to redeem us, to take care of that sin, to take care of those things that have led us down a path where our mouth speaks the wrong things or speaks evil. But it's God that we acknowledge in that hymn of praise. But it doesn't end there. He said, many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. You know that we've been studying for some time and being encouraged and taught through Dennis's ministry that God is wanting us to go outside of this building with our faith. We hear it over and over again. And it's kicking in, isn't it? We're feeling that. We're looking for those moments, those wow moments, where God is opening a door for us to minister to someone in some way so that they are introduced to Jesus Christ. And here we read that David's experience, when God purified his speech by purifying his heart, putting him on a solid footing, it says in the second part of verse 3, many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. That's an expression of who we are in God, in Jesus Christ. what comes out of our mouth. And if we struggle with what the words that come out of our mouth, we're going to have a hard time having the witness that God wants us to have, ministering the love of Jesus to others. And it seems so apparent to us, but if we were to ask someone next to us, well, what do you think that means to me? How would you say I respond, or how would you say I speak, or what would you say about how I react to what I'm hearing here? I can almost assure you that if we'd be brutally honest, that person that we would ask would probably speak it more clearly or more directly than we'd be willing to admit. The witness that comes out of our mouth is what needs to come out of our heart. And what's in our heart then is we fill it and let it be completely filled with the love and the redemptive work of Jesus Christ is then what we're ready to share to others. We've been given some mechanisms in the way of asking some questions to begin to prompt, probably as much for ourselves, this process that God wants to take someone through in being introduced to Jesus Christ. But those things that come out of our mouth and out of our minds, out of our hearts, out of our very being, are to be things that are being embedded in there in our walk with God in the first place. So in order to know that our witness, our words, our response, our interaction with other people are interactions that become a testimony to what God's doing in us, he needs to be doing something in us, and we need to ask him to work in us. Not simply attempt to accomplish anything, but allow what we do and say to be an expression of what God is doing in us. So what I want to do is just kind of review then these steps that David himself went through, because I think as we look at what he's saying here, it gives us kind of a process, not one that we sit there and check off, but one that we're aware of, can be aware of, that makes a real difference in how we respond to what we know at times is not entirely pure in our hearts. And so that we don't have to be worried about when our most sensitive button gets pushed, what's going to come out of my mouth. But we see that David, he waited patiently. He waited for the Lord, it says. He waited patiently for the Lord. Are we waiting for God to work in our lives? Are we asking him expectantly, God, work in my life, purify me, purify my lips, purify my heart, continually asking him to purify us? And then when God begins to work in our lives, acknowledge what he's doing in our lives in a way that says, God, here I am. And when he begins to do those things, allow him to continue that work. Don't stop. It says, David says that his feet were set on a solid footing. Are our feet, a good question to ask ourselves, are my feet on a solid enough footing so that whenever my mouth speaks, I don't have to worry about what's going to come out? If I have to worry about what's going to come out, my feet are a bit, my footing's a little bit shaky at the moment. Not because God has changed, but because I haven't acknowledged the work that he's done in me to put me on that footing. And so continue to pursue. Don't ever give up. And then look for that new song. When you're in a moment, not only listening to music can get that going for us, but what is going through our minds? If we would just stop here for the next 5 minutes, we'd turn the thermostat off so the blower wouldn't even run and it was perfectly quiet other than a little shuffle in the chairs, where would our minds take us? When we're alone with God, for those of you who really have experienced and intentionally spent time alone with God in a devotional time where you don't let anything of life distract you, where does your mind take you? When you take that moment to commune with God, and that's kind of a weird word, but when you take that time to commune with God, to relate to God and say, God, I want to know you, what does that feel like? What does that mean? He begins to work in us, and I challenge you to do that if you don't do that regularly. Take some time where nothing else interferes. There's no buzzer on the oven that's going to signal something being prepped. There's no alarm clock that's going to tell you it's time to go to work. There's nothing else that's going to interrupt. And you can take a period of time and just sit with God, communing with God. It's not emptying our head, it's filling our life with God's presence. What does he say to you? What does that begin to do to us in the way of how we're prepared then to speak and to relate to other people and how it directs our lives and the decisions we make? God, fill us. Put us on that solid footing so that what comes out of us in any fashion, out of our mouth, but in our actions, in our expressions, in our interactions with others, so that it's a representation of a redeemed person and a testimony of God's love to others. In Proverbs 16:23, it says, "A wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction." In the New American Standard, it says that guides his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. If we hope to even be an influence in someone else's life, for as a testament to God's love, if we want to be used as God wants to use us out there in the world, we need to be in that place where we let a wise heart guide our mouth, and not our mouth just flare. I know I'm repeating here now, but the reality is we can't argue with God's word when he says it's what's in here that's going to come out of here. And if I would assure you, if from dealing with myself, and if we're honest with ourselves, there are times where things get frustrating, times when that button gets pushed, like I said. And too often, we catch ourselves and say, how could have that even happened? When we go into as we go into 2018 here, my challenge to you would be to resolve to pursue God with such intensity, to purify your heart, to be in relationship with God continually, that in everything we do, everything that's earthly that we have to do, our responsibilities, our jobs, our relationships, that we don't have to fear what comes out of our mouth, expressing what is truly in our heart. Because what is truly in our heart will be the very heart of God. That is what is critical. That's what is important. In Psalm 141, if you'd turn to that, I don't think I gave that to you, Amanda, and that's fine. But if you go to Psalm 141, if you have your Bibles with you, in verses 3 and the first part of verse 4, this would be a prayer that we could pray together, where it says, where the author says here, "Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Let not my heart be drawn to what is evil." Again, "Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord," crying out to the only one who can truly do that. "Keep watch over the door of my lips. Let not my heart be drawn to what is evil, to take part in wicked deeds." Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning, as you've spoken to us clearly about our hearts and what comes out of our mouths, even as a fountain being a result of what is in our hearts, Lord, we do acknowledge here and now that there is nothing in ourselves that we can do to truly mask what is in our hearts. And Lord, we don't want to be duplicitous. We don't want to come into this place on a Sunday morning and smile and have a good time and sing a few worship songs and go out of this place and allow the pressures of this world, the realities of life, to somehow push our buttons and show something different in our heart. Lord, we want to be pure. We want to be righteous. You've made us righteous through Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, this morning I pray that in any one of our lives where we have been challenged by the things we've said, the things we've thought, the things that come out of our heart, the things that are in our heart, I pray, Lord, that you would soften our hearts so that, Lord, we'd be repentive, that we'd be ready to acknowledge the things in our lives that are not pleasing to you, that are not according to your word, that are not according to your plan. And, Lord, that we would so desire change that we would just ask you completely and continuously to fill us so that, Lord, our heart would reflect your heart, so that, Lord, our words would be the result of a heart full of your presence, a heart full of your love, a heart full of your forgiveness, and, Lord, a heart full of your love for the world around us, so that, Lord, truly we can be effective in our responsibilities, we can be reflective in our relationships, we can be effective in our vocations, and most importantly, Lord, that we can be effective ministers of your word, your love, your forgiveness to the world around us. Lord, I pray that as we go into 2018 here, that this would be such an exciting year as we see you continue to work in each one of our lives. Not only meeting our needs, but Lord, continuing to grow us in your image. That, Lord, we would truly be pleasing to you. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We always want to close our service with giving anyone an opportunity to receive Christ as the Savior of your life. If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you know, it's thinking about it takes tremendous integrity on our parts to look at our behavior, to look at our words. That takes real honesty. But as you look at your life, I want to encourage you to think about if you're here today and Jesus is not the Savior of your life, you can make it this day. And how do you do that? Very simply by just praying and asking the Lord to forgive you for your sins and to ask Christ to come into your heart. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord and the Savior of your life, you will be saved. That's our promise. And that's our hope. And for those of us who are saved,